The Scottsdale City Council later this month will take up a proposed ordinance dealing with bike sharing and electric bikes and scooters. Last month, Phoenix put rules in place for dockless bikes in that city. Dockless bikes have become kind of ubiquitous around the valley, and criticism about where riders leave them has followed. Cities across the region and the country have been dealing with this new form of transportation. And joining me to get a sense of how some of them have been handling it is Bruce Appleyard. He's a professor of public administration and city planning at San Diego State University and joins me via Skype. And Bruce, how have you seen cities try to deal with these growing industries to make sure people have access when and where they want, but so they don't turn into an eyesore?
Well, that's a really excellent question for us to be discussing. You know, these are technologies that are truly innovative, and as what we call them, we also refer to them as disruptive technologies. So some communities are just saying, okay, this is too disruptive, let's ban them. Others are trying to figure out ways around this to, kind of incorporate them into their operations, sort of like what I call this kind of surfing the wave, so to speak, of the disruption itself. And what I'm working on is trying to help communities figure out a way to make these things work for everybody. Because these, you know, dockless bikes and dockless scooters are what we call right-sized transportation options. So they're just the right fit for the transportation needs of our communities.
Well, yeah, I mean, how do you try to integrate them? Because, you know, in a city like Phoenix or a city like San Diego or pretty much any city, those cities have been there for a while, and you can't just tear up the streets and the sidewalks for this particular new technology. So how do you try to integrate dockless bikes and scooters and things like that into the existing infrastructure?
Right. Well, the one benefit of these, both of these technologies, the dockless bikes and dockless scooters, is that they're smaller than trying to navigate a car around city streets. They can fit into the urban environment much better. We just need to figure out ways to make sure that that's managed in a better fashion. And there are two things that really kind of stick out. One is we've got really good GPS handheld technologies that allow us to communicate with the vendors of these dockless systems, and that actually can give us some guidance on how we should be locating the either dockless bike or dockless scooter after we've used them. And on top of us having these handheld devices, the scooters themselves actually have GPS locating capabilities that allow us to then, you know, if we start setting up places within the virtual reality of communities, we can actually designate these areas as to where the people should be placing them.
In some ways, though, does that kind of defeat the purpose of a dockless bike, where you don't have to bring it back to a specific place? Under that scenario, it sounds like you do kind of have to bring it back to a specific place or park it somewhere and then walk or find another way to get to where you're going if where you're going is not one of those designated leaving your scooter or bike zones.
I understand what you're saying. But what this allows us to do is that, I mean, by using this sort of virtual GPS technology to sort of locate places, it's much easier to find many more places in a community than actually building the infrastructure of a docked bike or scooter system, right? So you can essentially designate the areas you really don't want them to go into, but you could have on a stretch of 10 blocks, rather than having just one or two docked stations, you could have 20 on either side of the street and in different places. You're just making sure they're not in maybe the travel ways of the sidewalks themselves.
What kind of approach do you find that cities and their residents are taking to this? I mean, it seems like in some cases it might be kind of a NIMBY kind of reaction, mm-hmm. but in other cases it seems like maybe they're sort of taking the long view and sort of recognizing that this is fairly new technology and there maybe have to be kinks that are worked out in this particular industry. Do cities and their residents seem to be falling on one side or the other on that debate?
Certainly. With any new change and any new technology and any disruption, there's always a pushback. What we're seeing is that when we actually go in and see whether there's more conflicts on the sidewalks or there's disruptions because of where the docked scooters and dockless bikes are left, that when we actually talk to the people that are around them and using them, that things are actually working a little bit better than maybe the stories that are getting the headlines tell us. We're finding that people are using them instead of taking a car for a trip, and they're using them as opposed to having to get parking.
Well, I wonder about that. If fewer people driving obviously means fewer parking spots that you need. I wonder if some of those parking lots that already exist could be turned into, instead of parking lots for cars, maybe parking lots for dockless bikes and scooters.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you could fit, you know, 10 to 15 dockless bikes and scooters in one parking spot. We're also finding with Uber and Lyft and others that we, one of the, on the downsides of the Uber and Lyft, we're seeing a switch from parking congestion to road congestion. But as we go on the trajectory of using dockless, right-sized micro mobilities like scooters and bikes, and, you know, electrified, they're even more sustainable. But if we, as we start using, you know, dockless scooters and bikes and Uber and Lyft, we start seeing a significant decrease in the demand for parking. And that, you know, that actually can change the whole development profile of an urban core area.
Given that all of this has sort of come about quickly, I mean, we went from docked bikes to dockless bikes to now e-scooters and things like that, all seemingly fairly quickly. I'm wondering, like, what's next? Based on your research, what's the next thing that residents will have maybe access to and cities will have to sort of grapple with how to incorporate into their communities?
Well, one of the things that I'm working on with some colleagues of mine at UC San Diego is thinking about how we could actually have these micro-mobilities operate themselves. So they could actually basically place themselves in the appropriate places for communities and possibly even come to you when they're summoned.
Like a self-driving car, except it's a bike or a scooter.
Correct. And so, you know, again, sort of if they're smaller, the right size that fits the need of the transportation for the transportation need, then we take up less road space. We take up less, less parking space. We can actually give back some of that road space to the community.
All right, that's Bruce Appleyard, a professor of public administration and city planning at San Diego State University. Bruce, really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.